So how much can a mayor do to tackle the growing challenge of income inequality? Some argue we're talking about economic forces that go far beyond the reach of local government.
But don't tell that to Newton Mayor Seti Warren, who has taken up the challenge in a big way. You could also say he's personally acquainted with it. Newton is one of the more affluent communities of Greater Boston, and Warren is raising his family in a house he inherited from his father.
And he points out it's a house that he could never afford to buy, a fact that has helped shape his agenda as mayor. Seti Warren has been the mayor of Newton since 2010. State Democratic leaders talk about him as a potential candidate for higher office one day, maybe even governor. And he's with us now, Mayor Seti Warren. It's great to meet you and great to have you on the program. Thanks for coming in.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
So I want to start with the significance of that fact. The mayor of Newton lives in a house that he says he couldn't afford to buy. Is that really true? And if so, what's the significance of that? What does that mean to you?
Well, I feel so fortunate. I'm a mayor. I'm also an Iraq War veteran. My parents were both from tough neighborhoods in Harlem and the Bronx. They were part of the civil rights movement. My dad was also in the military, Korean War veteran, but he purchased the home where I live with GI Bill benefits in 1972. My sisters and I grew up there, and I benefited from an extraordinary community. I am so passionate about my city. The reason why I ran for mayor in 2009 is because I wanted every kid in Newton to have the same chance that I did. And when you look at the expensive area that we live in, and we look at the housing prices, and we look at the great public schools and the great position Newton's in, many working families and people like my family, my parents, could not afford to move in. My dad was a teacher at Brandeis, working on his graduate degree, and my mom was finishing her college degree. There are many places in and around the Boston area that they wouldn't be able to afford, including the home, as I mentioned, my wife and I. My wife works at a college as well.
So let me ask you about this. A couple of years ago, you commissioned a study from Northeastern economist Barry Bluestone to look at the city's Newton's demographics. You were startled by some of what you found. Tell us about that.
Yeah, one of the things that we saw, when we think about income inequality, we think about social mobility, Newton has pockets of poverty. 4 to 6% is the estimate. There are certain school districts, areas in our district. There are five schools where 30% of our kids are on free and reduced lunch, five elementary schools. It was of great concern. We know when we looked at the data of kids that are coming into the classroom of low income aren't performing as well because they're not getting the enrichment and intervention outside of the classroom that wealthier households are. And there begins the disparity in Newton. How do we make sure that every single family and child has a chance to earn an income level that's at the middle class level or above, and a pathway there, which is why I started this initiative.
Right, and you've decided that the biggest barrier here is education, right?
Yes, I mean it's a three-prong issue here, but number one, we have to invest in education, and we've got to do it in an innovative way, particularly outside of the classroom. We've got to be working with children and families, empowering them and connecting them with the resources they need for enrichment so that there's growth. And then we need to also make sure our young people have training opportunities like internships and apprenticeships so they can get exposure to higher wage jobs here in this area and in the innovative Asian economy and life sciences economy. So we've developed some programming in Newton and Newton Public Schools to tackle the achievement gap. We've seen real results with low-income students and African-American students in the last 3 years, where students that were at lower levels in the classroom are now at higher levels in the classroom, and honors and AP with interventions outside the classroom. We've developed a high school internship program to expose first-generation students to the new economy, the new jobs of the economy. That program's run for 3 years. And we've been able to move the needle. We've got to invest in growing the innovation economy as well. And in our cities, that is an important aspect to this. And we've got to build the infrastructure for that to allow for that to happen.
I want to ask you about sort of looking beyond Newton, about this challenge of economic inequalities. And when I think about a city of Newton, I think of, I mean, as you mentioned, pockets of poverty, but overall a pretty affluent city, an established city. What about neighborhoods that are in transition? And in particular, I'm thinking of the part of the city where I live in. I live in East Somerville. It's about to explode. The Green Line is coming in. There's a lot of development planned for there. I think Mayor Curtatone is thinking in the right way about a mixture of housing and keeping housing affordable. But there's a sort of grassroots level in that neighborhood where people are talking about development without displacement. And that's always the tricky thing, right? I mean, how do you do that? I mean, we all want development. We get excited about gentrification, but how do you keep places affordable for folks who are already there?
So the reason why I developed this, and I adopted a lot of the policy from the Brookings Institution, I developed a policy around this, and there's two parts to it. One is income level. We know that is critical. If we're not allowing for people to bring enough money into their households, they can afford the basics of rent, food, and transportation, that's an issue. The second issue in the Boston area, and the Boston Foundation has been unbelievable on looking at income inequality. We are spending 28% more on the basics in the last four years, food, transportation, housing. So there's a huge imbalance when we are doing things like creating mixed-use development.
And a huge pay cut for the people at the bottom.
It's a huge pay cut,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And by the way, Mayor Curtatone is a fabulous mayor, and he's doing the right thing in Somerville. One of the things that he and I have talked about, as well as Mayor Walsh, is how do you create a framework, which I've done, and use a framework from early childhood all the way to adulthood that focuses on growing income levels. What do we need to do in the early years? What do we need to do in the later years? That brings us to things like apprenticeships, high school internships, to expose people to the fastest growing job sector, which is life sciences and the tech community. How do we make sure there's exposure there so we get people on an income? And how do we make sure we have accessible, affordable transportation and housing in all of our cities, including places like Newton? So we've got to do both, and we've got to make sure that people have a pathway to the middle class and beyond.
Are some of these issues around economic disparity? I mean, you're a mayor of one city in the Boston area. Do you feel, or just respond to this idea, which we suggested in the intro, that some of these forces that have led to so much economic disparity, be it globalization and any number of other forces, are beyond the power of one man?
Well, two things on that. First of all, I believe cities are the engine of innovation today. Some of the toughest problems nationally that we're not able to solve are being solved at the local level. We can get things done. You know, you look at what I just described in Newton. That was a mayoral, that was an initial initiative around the internship program. You look at other cities, the Roxbury Innovation Center in Boston that Mayor Walsh put together to give people in the neighborhood of Roxbury an opportunity to be exposed and get training around entrepreneurship. Out in Holyoke, Massachusetts, Mayor Morse has created an innovation district in one of the toughest places of the state struggling with high unemployment. Worcester has created a collaborative with different nonprofits as well as universities to create opportunity. We know cities can do it at the local level. We also know that federal and state can't abdicate their responsibility in making these investments. Things like community development block grants, which I'm a champion of at the national level. I chair Community Development and Housing Committee for the U.S. Conference of Mayors. We need flexible investment and be able to use these funds in an innovative measure. We need to measure our success, use evidence and research-based work to get there, and metrics. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of great programs, but mayors can do it and combine those funding sources and private-public resources in their own communities. We're doing it now.
We only have a couple of minutes left, but I want to ask you just a couple of questions about sort of your background and maybe where you're going next. You were elected mayor in 2010, the first popularly elected African-American mayor in Massachusetts. And when I read that fact, it sort of surprised me because I thought it took until 2010 to elect the first black mayor in the state. Did it surprise you or frustrate you that it took this long?
You know, I knocked on 10,000 doors when I ran for mayor. And a lot of people question whether an African-American could win. I said they could because I believe that if I went directly to residents and voters, was honest, truthful, told the truth, confronted people with the fact that we needed to make tough decisions and be innovative to get there, people elected me. They elected me twice. I'm proud that Newton decided to do that. I wasn't surprised. You know, we saw Governor Patrick use a grassroots approach, and we saw President Obama do the same. So I was really proud of the city. I think we need to continue not just to elect people of color, but bring people together of different backgrounds and cut to the issue at hand.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question, and I know I'm going to run the risk that you're going to just tell me I'm focused on being mayor. You're being you're being talked about as someone who's going to go beyond being mayor of Newton one day. Democratic sort of power brokers in this state are saying Seti Warren, he could run for governor. I know at one point you ran for the Senate before Elizabeth Warren sort of came into the room and sucked all the oxygen out of that race. But what's next for Seti Warren?
Well, I love my job, as you can tell. We've got some exciting things around housing and transportation and this economic growth for all agenda, which I've launched. I love being a chief executive. I love making it happen at the ground level. That's what I'm focused on right now.
All right. Well, Seti Warren, he's been the mayor of Newton since 2010. It's a great pleasure to have you. I hope you can come back because these issues are super important. We'd love to talk to you more about them as time goes on.
Thank you. Great. Thank you for having me.
Stay with us. Coming up, author Rick Riordan on his latest book, which is set here in Boston. I'm Deborah Becker.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.